How's it? Welcome back for an episode. You're here with me, Nick, and I'm joined by my good buddy, Ronnie. Ronnie, we had a bit of a week's break. How are you doing after that, bud?
Yeah, it actually feels a little bit longer than a week's break, that's for sure. Feel a little bit rusty.
So, since we last spoke, you were in Spain. You've now made the move over to France. Have you learned any of the French lingo yet?
Oui.
This is going to be a fun time while you're there in France. So I understand you had a bit of difficulties making the move from Spain to France.
Yeah, you could say that. Europe's got all these amazing things, trains, things that cross the country, and you could travel from one place to the next on a train, which is amazing. And then the day I decided to travel was the day that the French rail system was sabotaged. I got caught right in the middle of that.
So we know they don't play rugby like us, Ronnie, but do they protest like us? Now, have they got it down to a T, or was it very disorganized?
It's a science, yeah. Honestly, these guys know, they know how to cripple a country. It was just four little fires and the whole train system went down. Next thing I know, my trains were canceled. Then I got stuck. Then I tried to get onto a train that was full, missed that. After about 9 hours of traveling, I had made it about an hour away from my start point. So it wasn't very good.
Well, there we go. At least you're safely in France. Where in France are you at the moment?
Just not too far from Paris, actually. It's a place called Tours, Tours. I still don't know how to pronounce it properly, but it's pretty awesome. There's a river here, and I had a little bit of a walk last Sunday, and people swim in the river here, so no crocodiles.
What a surprise. Not like where you come from down in old Malalane. You can't go swimming in the rivers there.
No, you cannot go swimming in the river there.
Well, I suppose you could try, but it's not going to end too well.
It may just be your last swim.
So, Ronnie, I'm moving out of my place here in Pretoria now, and I've been boxing everything up. But I did a proper stupid thing last week. I went to the box store. I wanted a moving kit to move out of this place. That's a
Not the
two-bedroom
Springbok
apartment.
store.
Yeah. And then, no, I missed your joke there. No, not the Springbok
Yeah,
store.
thought so.
So I asked for this regular sized moving kit. And let me tell you, they filled my car to the brim with boxes. I don't know what I'm going to do with all these boxes. It is ridiculous. I do not have enough stuff to fill them. So come back to South Africa. Let's go down the hills on them or something like we were lighties because there's a shitload of them, Ronald.
You start your own moving business. Anybody need moving? You've got enough boxes for everybody.
Yeah, I've got enough. I can sell two more small moving kits to everybody. Anyone out there, in Pretoria that's moving, get in touch. Ronnie, speaking of the box, though, we have the rugby championship kicking off this weekend.
Yeah, kicking off at an awkward hour. Honestly, who thought that it was a bright idea to play a game at 3:30 in Australia in the afternoon?
Yeah, so that translates to a 6:30 a.m. kickoff for those of us here in South Africa. Box taking on the Wallabies at Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane. But yeah, Ronnie, an absolute early start. The guys that follow us on social media will have seen a bit of back and forth between me and Lackey there at Scrum Bags about a down dance for this game. So if the Wallabies do by some chance beat the Springboks, it's going to be sunrise and I'm going to be chugging a beer down on this side of the world.
Yeah, and you can't do that. It's the one thing that you're not known for is drinking beer.
Is that so, hey Ronald? Says you over there probably sipping on your glass of wine this evening in France. So, Ronnie, 93 tests played between the Springboks and the Wallabies. Box have 50 wins, Wallabies have 40 wins, and there's been three draws in that time. That's that. Only 10 wins a difference, but Springboks not having the best of times in Brisbane. Our last win there was in 2013.
Yeah, look, it's not just Brisbane, right? We've our record over in Australia for the last couple of years, the last decade or so has not been favorable. But you know what? This is good. I like a strong Australia. I like a challenge, and it's not, definitely not going to be easy. The record is against us. The Schmidt factor. That's all going to bode well for Australia. So we're up against it.
We're definitely up against it. Like you said, Joe Schmidt in the mix there is definitely going to change it up. I mean, the hype surrounding the Wallabies Springboks test at Loftus last year was quite intense. It was to be Eddie Jones's first game in charge. We went to that one. You know, the Wallabies not getting the win there, but it's a completely different ball game taking them on at home. It's a young side. It's a rebuilding phase for them. They're trying to, you know, cast the net a little bit wide and find their squad. But some interesting stats between these two sides, Ronnie, still is the biggest win the Springboks have ever had was a 53-8 win at Ellis Park in 2008. But the Boks' biggest ever loss to the Wallabies came in Brisbane in 2006, where we lost 49-0 at the stadium we're taking them on this weekend.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't look too much into that, of course. I mean, 2006 was what it was, and we ended up winning the World Cup in 2007. So, you know, I'm not too concerned by that. But, you know, if you just put that aside, Brisbane is a happy hunting ground for Australia, you know, for everyone, except when they play the All Blacks. So, you know, it is going to be a massive game. It is, you know, we've had a bit of a break now. Maybe guys got a little bit rusty. Maybe opposite is true. Maybe we practice really hard, and I'd like to imagine that's the case. But we do have a new 9-10 combination, which is, you know, it can be a hit or a miss.
No, Ronnie, you're absolutely right there. So let's just go over then to the Bok 23 before we talk about predictions and all of this. So 836 test caps in the 23 name to take on the Wallabies, 335 of those coming in the back line, 501 of those in the forwards, and a further 269 caps on the bench. So as a starting point, very experienced Springbok side. You know, a lot of World Cup winners taking the pitch this weekend. So there can be no complaints from a South African point of view about the quality of team we're putting onto the field.
No, of course not. I think it's definitely a compliment to Australia as well. We're taking this game seriously. We expect them to put up a bigger fight than they did back at Loftus last year under Eddie Jones. So, you know, this is it. Russie's going all guns blazing. But it's not just that. I think he's got the opportunity to go all guns blazing, but with some very inexperienced players in the mix as well. And you know, they're not one cap players. They've been in the mix now for some time. They've earned a couple of caps, a handful, albeit five. So, you know, I think Russie's prepared accordingly to send an inexperienced side, but the inexperienced players themselves have got some experience, which is good.
Yeah, you know, we're starting to cast that net and build up the squad, build up the depth ahead of 2027, which is great to see. But doing it with a fine amount of experience around these players. So we'll get on to the guys now. So front row of Ox, Bongi, Frans Malherbe. I mean, who can complain about that? That's your World Cup winning front row right there.
No, and it's who do you choose, right? So whether it's them or whether it's Malcolm, Vincent, Gerrit, you know, there's so much depth that we have there. So, you know, you can't be unhappy with this front row.
We have so much depth there that Trevor Nyakana is busy playing Curry Cup.
Yeah. Honestly, when did you think that was ever going to happen, right? So it's fantastic to see.
Ronnie, then over to the engine room. We have Eben Etzebeth starting in the four jersey. It'll be his 123rd test cap for the Springboks. Only four off the record of Victor Matfield with 127.
Yeah. Look, I'm very happy for Eben. He deserves to be, you know, to have that much experience behind him. He's played for many years and he's done very well and well deserving of such a title. And with Akhia as well, Akhia is a menace, but I did hear that he does have a bit of an asterisk next to his name. So potentially we could see him being shifted out, but you know, you want Akhia there because, you know, you know, this is crazy to think, but we need the Bucky's Buerta to Eben Etzebeth's Matfield.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to pick who the enforcer is out of Eben and Akhia because that's just pure pain for what's expected the locks to go 80 minutes in this one because there's no specialist lock named on the bench. But like you've mentioned, Akhia Sneyman carrying a bit of a niggle. Should he not be able to play on the weekend, Ruan Nokia will be elevated to the starting lineup is the look of it as a specialist five. So it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully, Arche is fine. Then, Ronnie, over to the loose trio where Sio Khaleesi captains the side from six. Peter Steph Tatoy makes his remarkable recovery from injury. And Ulrich Lowe gets a first start in the Springbok jersey at number eight.
Yeah, and I think this is what I was saying about, you know, Ulrich Lowe is an inexperienced player, but he still has five caps behind his name, right? So he's been in the mix for a while, and Rassi's earned his right to play these relative newcomers who now are not, you know, they're not absolutely brand new. They've done the hard yards and they now deserve their position. And he's got his opportunity now, Alrik Lo, to start. You know, Evan Ruiz, obviously taking a bit of a backstand with his situation. You know, it's fantastic to see the depth that we're building over there as well. But yeah, I suppose South Africans have never had trouble with Lucy's.
And I mean, imagine now as Alrik Lo, this is your first start for the Springboks. Yes, you have had 4 or 5 test caps to your name already. But you're coming in to start in a pack that features 7 World Cup winners, 6 of which are double World Cup winners, only Ox having won only in 2023. But I mean, what a place to make your starting debut among such experience and such quality. You know, you're not being thrown to the wolves. You're really being given an opportunity there.
No, absolutely. I just hope that he can keep his nerves in check. And it's a big opportunity for Alrik. And yeah, I hope he does really well because I'm a big fan of Alrik.
No, me too, Ronnie, me too. Then I think the surprising selection for everyone, and it shouldn't actually be that surprising, Faf de Klerk ruled out through injury, Kobus Reinach getting the starting 9 jersey. But at 10, Andre Pollard loses out to Sasha Feinberg and Gomazulu. He gets the 10 jersey for the game against the Aussies. Horses for courses, Ronnie, or has he usurped good old Polly there?
No, I don't think there's such a thing as usurping, positions anymore at this stage. I think Rassi, like I said, we have to give him credit for his rotation policy. He's given everybody a chance, and it's Sasha Feinberg's chance now. So good on him. And I'm actually really happy to see that Kobus Reinach is his halfback partner, because that's a giftige 9-10 combo. Big fan of Kobus, and there's so many nines that we have. So for him to get a shot and to be such a pacey, nippy, aggressive 9, you know, that's going to do well for Sasha at 10. And, you know, obviously Sasha's got experience either side of him on his 9 and 12.
So I think just while we're talking about the pace of Kobus Reinach and what he brings to the 9 jersey, his replacement on the bench will be Grant Williams. And it's quite rare that we've got Kobus starting, Grant on the bench, who are 2 scrum halves that are very quick. They play the game very fast, good passing, good running around the fringes. You know, normally we've got a Jaden and a Kobus, or a Faf and a Grant, and it's 2 contrasting playing styles. So I'm quite keen to see how the backline fares when you've got a 9 that's sort of continuing playing the same style for 80 minutes through the game.
Yeah, look, questions to be asked, but look, we know exactly what we have in Kobus though, and he's going to be fantastic. He's fantastic experience to have next to Sasha. So you're right, it is usually a 2-9 combination that are contrasting, but you know, you can't go wrong with Kobus. And potentially, I suppose, this is a selection of choosing a both Kobus and a Grant Williams because of the opposition, because of it being Australia and what they've brought this year. So, yeah, this is going to be awesome. I'm very excited. And it's probably one of the reasons I'm most excited about waking up on Saturday morning early is to see Kobus.
Yeah, I imagine he snatches up another one of his famous hat tricks. That would be pretty epic, eh, Ronald?
Hat trick machine.
So, Ronnie, then let's take a look at the centers. We've got Damian Dialende and Jesse Creel. I mean, what more can you say? The most capped Springbok pairing of all time. Class act, huge, huge contributors to our World Cup title defense last year. I'm more than happy to see those two starting.
Yeah, there's really nothing. There's nothing bad that you can say about this. I think for me, if we just talk about the fact that they are our most experienced center pairing ever in the history, that for me firstly is a surprise, because I remember the years of, you know, Devet Barry and all those AD Jacobs and Jean de Villiers and Jean Free, all these centers that Waylon Murray, right? Remember, oh my word, that was a good time, giving away our age here. But you know, those are brilliant centers, and we saw so much of them wearing the Springbok jersey. Then only for Damien and Jesse to become the most capped, honestly, that's incredibly impressive. But yeah, look, we've had harsh things to say about Jesse over the years, but he's put his head down, he's worked so incredibly hard, and he deserves to be our Springbok 30. And Lukanye, if he, you know, he's been very unlucky, but if he finally does come back, he's going to work really hard to have to get into and you know, have his shot at playing 13, which no doubt he will, because Rassi does rotate well.
But you know what's crazy now, just talking about the record of most cap center pairing, is that next in the cap line is Jacques Ferrie and Jean de Villiers. And then one cap behind that is Damian Dialende and Lucanio.
Yeah.
So D'Alende has almost got the two records with two different 13s.
No, that's impressive. And we were very critical of Damien D'Alende, you and I. Our buddy Shane always said that he was a good player, and you and I said, Damien D'Alende, never going to be a Springbok. And look at him now. He's probably one of my favorite players.
Yeah, no, we had to eat our words on that. To be fair, that was like 2012 when we were saying that. But yeah, we were proven comprehensively wrong, Ronnie. Then a very experienced back three, Kirtley Arendse, Cheslin Kolbe, and Willy Leroux. I've been told by Lackey that the Wallabies ordered an extra strapping for their ankles this weekend because two scrum-capped wingers are coming their way.
Yeah, I think the most frustrating thing about having both Cheslin and Kirtley in the side is because the commentators usually get them mixed up. And me too. I end up cheering for Cheslin when Kirtley's got the ball. I wish they'd give them two separate coloured scrum caps just to, you know, small, pacey. Yeah, I do. They're incredible. They're two very agile players. That, you know, they'll step you in a phone booth, both of them. They'll step each other in a phone booth at the same time with both legs tied behind their back. So it's very impressive. And Willy Leroux, it's nice to see him there. But my biggest worry, of course, is Willy Leroux in the starting 15. You know, because he could surely not have long left. And, you know, we need to find a replacement for him. And we've identified a couple, but they haven't been able to marshal those back three as well as Willy has. And that's perhaps my only worry.
Yeah, look, you've definitely got Damien Willemse to cover in that area as well. But yeah, Willy linking up with those two wings of ours is going to be deadly. Ronnie, then we have the bench. We have Malcolm Marks. I almost thought this was Guthrie Steenkamp for a second reading this now. But Gerard Steenkamp and Vincent Koch for the front row. We then have no locks on the bench, Ronnie, or no specialist locks, but Ben Jason Dixon, Marco van Staden, and Kwaga Smith covering there. So we've gone for a 6-2 split and rounded out with Grant Williams and Andre Pollard. What do you make of the bench, Ronald?
Yeah, obviously, I can't talk much about the front row because we've said already, it doesn't matter who's where, they're all incredible. With respect to your comment about the fact that we don't have locks, we do have a Peter Steph Du Toit, and it was a couple of years ago, but we all used to say that he's not a flanker, he's a lock. So, you know, he can still play there. And obviously, I think Ben Jason Dixon will have, obviously, you know, by the time the game starts, will have had some time scrumming it at either four or five. But yeah, with that said, you know, Abhir and Eben, you know, they both have the ability to go the full 80. So not too worried about that. And then, yeah, Kwaga, we know exactly what he brings to the table. He brings everything to the table. Bloody Swiss Army knife is what he is. So I'm still waiting for the day that the 6-2 really fails us and then Kwaga has to play center or wing or something ridiculous. Because we all talk about this. We all talk about this like, yo, no, we just put Kwaga there. But it hasn't happened yet, you know?
Kwaga at 10.
Kwaga at 10, honestly, that would be something. And then obviously Grant Williams and Andre Pollard. So Andre Pollard there, Mr. Clutch himself. So, you know, if we really need to bring him on the last 10 minutes to kick the Mornay stain of outside, you know, that's fantastic.
Yeah, very, very keen to see this operate. I think Pollard will probably come on in about the 50th minute with Sasha shifting then to fullback, making sure he's honing that versatility in. But yeah, on the Willy front as well, Ronnie, we forgot to mention he is getting test cap number 96. So almost a Springbok centurion himself.
Which he's well deserving of. So hopefully he stays around long enough for that.
Yeah, for sure, Ronnie. Then, you know, the Wallabies team is not named at the time of recording here, but I'm expecting a few changes from the side that faced Georgia. Josh Schmidt's still doing a bit of rotation. But what's your prediction for this game, Ronnie? Box or Wallabies?
If I back the Wallabies, right, I'll never be allowed back into South Africa. So, no back on the show. Oh, really? So I can go. That's an exit clause for me. Okay, gotcha. No, it has to be South Africa, right? We expect that. We expect the boys to go over there, do their job. It is a bit of an awkward time. So hopefully that doesn't mess with their schedules, you know, but, you know, they're all professionals. They'll be able to do it. They've been over there for a while now, so they should all be fit and raring to go. You know, but it is a difficult ask, like we said, like we've spoken of Brisbane, not a happy hunting ground for the Springboks. Number one. Number two, the last couple of years over in Australia have been a real challenge for the Springboks. And the fact that, you know, Joe Schmidt's been there with the boys now for since the World Cup. So you know, it's not going to be easy, but it has to be the Springboks. And let's be a little bit, you know, let's be realistic about this. You know, it has to be Springboks by within one score, so within seven.
I'm going to go Boks by 12, Ronnie. I do think it's going to be a great game till about the 50th, 60th minute. And then I think the Wallabies' lack of experience is going to catch up with them a little bit. But I do not expect a runaway.
No, that'd be unrealistic. It would be nice to see. For World Rugby, we want the Australians to do better, especially since they have the Lions tour next year. So we expect them to put up a bigger fight. Yeah, so look, it's not going to be a runaway, I don't think.
Ronnie, over then to the All Blacks versus Los Pumas in New Zealand, Sky Stadium in Wellington, 9:05 kickoff on Saturday morning. So before midday, we're going to have had our rugby done and dusted and out the way at this rate. 25-18 defeat the All Blacks suffered there 2 years ago. And now they face Los Pumas again. They'll be looking for revenge.
And I'm a little bit concerned. All right, I want the Los Pumas to put up a real fight and you know, we hope that the All Blacks don't demolish them. But, I don't know. The All Blacks look very strong right now. And from what's coming out the camp and, you know, they had their warm-ups. They got their things out of the way against England, who was not an easy side to play against. So, you know, Los Pumas are going to be up against it. So, it would be great to see an upset, perhaps. But I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Ronnie. I think a good first 40 at least from Los Pumas. But I think the All Blacks are, you know, getting settled in this new Razor style that's being deployed there and, you know, getting more comfortable with how they're playing. So I'm excited to see this one. Scott Barrett's been ruled out injured, though. He won't be available for the first two games of the championship. But Ardie Sevier stepping into captain the side, and what a capable replacement that is. Ronnie, will the change in captaincy have a big effect now that there's a new coaching system in place and they were getting settled with Scott leading them? Or do you think Ardie's such an integral part of that All Black side, it's not going to make much of a difference?
Look, Scott's obviously a good choice for captain. He's a sound player and he's proven himself. The reality is, I always thought Ardie was a very good captain. So, you know, I don't think it'll mess with the mojo. There's a lot of experience in that All Black side. You know, so with Scott Barrett, you know, sitting out for two matches, I don't think it's going to affect him one bit. And in fact, you know, Ardie is a great player and a great leader. So, you know, they'll be good for it.
Yeah, I think Ardie, as many people thought, would have captained the All Blacks instead of Sam Kane. It should have been a toss-up between him and Sam Whitelock. But yeah, very, very capable leadership there from the eighth man. Ronnie, what are your predictions for this game? So Argentina have called up a number of experienced players from the Premiership. They are going to look to fight this one hard. But score predictions?
Look, All Blacks by probably 16.
All Blacks by 16, yeah. I'm going to go All Blacks by about 18. Just got to better you or two up you on this one, Ronald. Then Leanne wrote us 2 weeks ago, and we didn't get to her email in time to put it out in the pod. But she was asking a little bit about the rule changes. And there are some rule changes, Ronnie, for the Rugby Championship coming up. So first one, let's have a little bit of a chat about it, is the 20-minute red card. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I think it's good. I've ummed and awed about it, and I've flip-flopped and sat on one side of the fence, then sat on the other side of the fence, then sat on the fence. So, you know, by all means, I think it's an excellent rule. Keeping in mind, though, that, you know, deliberate foul play, deliberate red card offence is going to remain off the field down to 14 for the rest of the game. It's not 20-minute red cards for all infractions.
Yeah, no, you're right. So there is a differentiation there. Intentional misdeeds, though, then you will be off for the rest of the game. But Ronnie, you know, the 20-minute red card, it's going to have a big influence on the outcome of some games, I'm sure, because you might see a crucial player get a card that would have had a massive impact previously. He's going to get the chance to rest and come back on after 20, or not him, someone else will come back on. I think it's good for the game. I'm quite keen on it. One that has me concerned, though, is this countdown clock that's now involved. So we've seen it for the kicks. It was 90 seconds. It's now 60 seconds on the kicks. But the clock has also been added in for the lineouts and the scrums, Ronnie. So teams will only have 30 seconds to perform these. So from the moment the touch judge calls lineout, you have 30 seconds to get that ball into your team. So those slow walk-ins and all of that, that's a thing of the past with this rule.
Try as hard as you want. I think sometimes it takes 30 seconds just to run to the, to where Pollard kicked it out. So, this for me is, I'm surprised and I'm very interested to see how this is going to affect the speed of the game. And yeah, I don't know. This is a big one. But look, kicks still remain with what they are. But, scrums, it takes more than 30 seconds surely to set a scrum, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's way too little time for this. And I don't see this rule being sustainable at all for the lineouts and the scrums. Yes, there's this whole thing, we do need to speed up the game. But guys, stop touching the set pieces, man. Fuck off net. We like it. We like the technicalities of the lineouts and the scrums. Don't rush the big boys. Let them have their fun in this game too.
Yeah, well said.
Ronnie, then one that I can get on board with. So when skew throws happen in the lineouts, but the defensive team didn't contest for the ball, it's play on.
You say that with a straight face. Do you not realize that I brought this up years back and you laughed at me?
Oh, Ronnie, do you have any pictures or we don't believe you? Eh?
You know, it was like 5 years ago. I said, honestly, it's ridiculous that they called us skew line out if the opposition didn't contest for it, then you and Shane both laughed at me. So, vindication, but I have no proof. I'll just live with it.
Yeah, Ronnie, I don't know. That doesn't sound like something you would have said at all. So, yeah, not going to pretend like you did. Ronnie, quickly then onto the box squad, because there's a few players I'd just like to chat about. First one is Marnie Lobok. Has he kicked himself out of the Springboks? Pun intended.
Yeah, look, maybe temporarily. I don't think permanently, because Marnie Lobok is an electric 10 and, he definitely adds depth and experience and, I'm sure he'll be back. But his kicking is a definite concern. He pulls that ball way too much. And I think if he sorts that out, and he can, we've had lots of players go overseas and come back and be excellent, going as far back as Percy Montgomery. So Percy Montgomery ended his career with a 95+ success on kicking. So Marnie, you can do it. I believe you. And when he does, he's going to be giftig.
Ronnie, then Ivan Roos, he was excluded from the rugby championship after getting to play the test against the Irish. He has undergone shoulder surgery and it's hard to know what influenced what there. But I think we both agree he didn't really take his chances in the July tests.
Yeah, and look, I'd look upon him a little bit more favorably if we didn't have so much depth at eight. He's got a lot of competition with the likes of Ulrich Lowe and
Jasper.
What Jasper Visa, thanks Nick. And there's a lot of competition there. So he should have rose up to the occasion and put his hands up very high. I think he just raised his hand a little.
Then I've seen a lot on our page about guys calling for Siya Masuku's inclusion in the Springbok squad. I think it's a very difficult one to do because you've got Andre Pollard, you've got Marnie Lobok, two World Cup winning fly halves that are still in play. Then you've got someone performing the way Sasha Ngamazulu is performing. You've got Damian Willemse on the back burner still. You've got other guys that can cover at 10. Very hard to now throw, a fourth or fifth string fly half into the mix. Maybe he's going to get a chance in the games against Argentina. But for the time being, I don't feel like his exclusion is anything against the player. I just feel like he's in a really competitive pack of players for that number 10 jersey.
Exactly. And what we said about Ivan Roos applies to, I suppose, Sia, except Sia hasn't had his opportunity to put his hand up. But look, no doubt it will come at some point. Injuries happen. It is a contact sport. So look, if he gets his chance, he better be ready.
So talking about throwing your hands up, how bad have the English been with the renaming of Twickenham Stadium, Ronnie, to the Allianz Stadium? So a lot of upset folk there about the tradition that's been with that stadium for years. What do you think of the renaming?
Well, we still call it Ellis Park. So
yeah, exactly. And Kings Park. I've never once called it Hollywood Bets Kings Park. Not happening.
Exactly. So look, change the name, whatever. We know what it is.
No, true. And then the biggest news in South African rugby at the moment, Siya Kolisi parting ways with Racing 92 and coming back to South Africa, most likely the Sharks. What do you make of that move, Ronald?
Yeah, maybe he had a bit of a good rest going over to France, right? But, it's good to have him back in the country. It's where he belongs. We love him. So come home and, good to have your captain back.
Absolutely, absolutely. Then Kuni Oosthuizen, unfortunately retiring from the game. He had a 14-year career, but unfortunately a neck injury is just not healed up and he's had to hang up his boots. Cheers to a legend. I really used to enjoy watching Kuni bounce the hell out of people on the field.
Agreed. Kuni was one of my favorite players. A little bit of a shit stirrer. It always looked like it.
Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. My fuck chum. That was luck.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.